let's get the our Bibles open, shall we? Let's go. I think this will be the last message in this series. I think I told you that last week, too. I didn't mean to lie to you. I really did not. There are times I just think it's going to come to an end. And have you ever had that with a conversation with somebody on the telephone and you're thinking, I think I'll be able to be off here in a minute. And a half hour later, you're still on the phone with them? Okay, it's only me. But anyway, some of you like to talk. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4. Anne has made that mistake before. She thinks I like to talk a lot because I talk, you know, for a living, if you will. I was like, I don't like to talk that much, just so you know. But we do have good communication, and over 30, it's going to be 32 years this July, we've learned how to communicate. Proverbs chapter 4, the title of the message today is Press Forward. Press Forward. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, last week we talked about and asked the question, what are you longing after? What are you looking at? What are you longing for? And, you know, we asked you the question about what are you desiring? What is your desire in this life? What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you are longing to have in your life? Now, above all else, and let's put that in there, above all else, if I asked you that question right now, what is it in your life that you long for above everything else? Could you be honest and say, and I know you can, but, you know, say, it's to draw closer to the Lord. That should be our first and foremost desire, because if we draw closer to the Lord, if we are seeking first His kingdom, that is His rule and reign in us, the kingdom's in you, remember that. When Jesus talked about seek ye first the kingdom of God, He's not talking about you guys thinking about going to heaven one day. I'm seeking the kingdom. No, no, no. The kingdom is in you. That is that place where Christ rules and reigns. Where is He seated? He's seated on the throne of your heart. Amen? So if you're seeking that, then here's the good thing about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. All of these things that you have need of will be added unto you. What are the things? He talks about the things that the Goyim chase after, or the Gentiles. And literally, Goyim is a Hebrew word that means without God. This is what people who are without God chase after. They chase after clothing. They, to some of them, they have food and their belly is their God. Huh? Food, they live for their next meal. They become gluttons. Scripture speaks about that, about a gluttonous people. The Bible says if you're given to an appetite, what are you supposed to do? What? I didn't hear that. I'm not going to say it. Put a knife to your throat. Well, that's horrible, Pastor Dan. Are you advocating suicide? No, 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 no. All that saying is get control over your belly. If your belly's controlling you, it's going to affect everything about your physical health. Okay? So that's don't be looking around at other people's bellies right now either. That's none of your business, okay? What's your business is your belly. Amen. And your desires and your life. It's real easy to point the finger at somebody, but remember, y'all's got three, at least three, pointing right back at yourself. So be careful with that, please. We mentioned to you that looking fuels desire. Remember? I mean, it's pretty simple concept. Whatever you sit and look at is going to give fuel to a desire that's birthed in you. So you need to be very, very cautious about what you allow yourself to look at. You keep looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at, you'll find yourself having a desire to have them. you know, I mean, people look at stuff and how many people that ended up committing crimes looked at what other types of crimes people have committed in the past or looked at a situation and started to think about how I could get away with this? There's been some cases of fraud over at Oklahoma State University, and they, you know, how did a person run up a bill of $40,000 stealing money from a department and think they could get away with it? Eventually, they get caught. But they looked at stuff. They looked at the circumstances. They looked at the situation and finally got desperate enough where they decided, I'm going to take the plunge. And then when nobody caught it right away, they thought they were getting away with it. Yeah, whatever you look at will draw you in. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your own heart. Right? That's where it talks about if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And what all that he's saying there is if there's something that's causing you trouble, stop looking at it. Well, Pastor Dan, it's easier said than done. Well, I will say that you are the one who's supposed to have control over your own body. And, I mean, the Lord is not going to stop you. Have you noticed that? The Lord will not stop you from sinning right now if you choose to. You have a choice. And the fact is, if you choose to do the wrong thing and you keep looking at the wrong things, you can get sucked in. And the first time that a person gets pulled into doing something that they shouldn't do, and it may be, you know, who knows what it is. Maybe it's eating something you know good and well you shouldn't eat. You eat it one time, and you go back a few days later, and you eat it again. And before long, you're eating it all the time, and you've forgotten completely about what the Lord told you about not eating that or drinking that or doing this or doing that, whatever it may be. But you need to be cautious what you put before you. This is very practical stuff. And sometimes people say, well, you know, just do the word. Well, yeah, do the word, but how do I do the word? How do I overcome something that seems like it's so difficult to overcome? When people get hung up in vices and problems and things going on in their lives, it seems like there's no way out. I'm caught. I can't get free of this. Yes, you can. The power of God's greater than the power of the devil. Can I hear an amen? The power of God is greater than the influence that your flesh has over your life. The flesh, remember, is very closely tied. In fact, it is a part of that unrenewed mind in you. That's why we're commanded to renew our minds. I read a devotion the other day, and I think this is really kind of a cool little concept. If you were having a conversation with a caterpillar, anybody else read that? Oh, good. Fresh meat. Amen. Caterpillar meat. Anyway, no. But if you were talking to a caterpillar, what happens to a caterpillar eventually? Turns into a butterfly. Remember the chrysalis? I remember we did that when I was like in second grade and we had this thing and here came it's been a long time. But anyway, it made that little chrysalis thing, whatever it is, and eventually it broke out of that and turned into a butterfly, and we turned it loose, okay? All right, fine. So if you're talking to a little caterpillar that's crawling on its belly, and you say, you may think you're just a worm right now, but one day you're going to fly, and you won't be limited to crawling on your belly. Oh, sure, it's easy for you to say, I'm just a worm, right? How many times has the enemy told you, you are just a worm? Now, the reason I bring that up, because the word that means, that is translated in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that you renew your mind, is a word that is closely associated with that process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And it goes through that change. And it starts off one way and transforms into something else. That's what happens when you put the word into you. You're going, I can't seem to get free of this. I just can't think straight. Keep putting the word into your thoughts. Do it diligently. How many of y'all know that if you set out on a diet and you limit your caloric intake for a week and you don't lose 25 pounds, you could just go, what use is it? Give me another Twinkie. I'll forget this. I'm not doing this. I'll eat all the fattening stuff I want. It's just not worth it. It doesn't work. Well, it does work, but it doesn't work overnight. It would be unhealthy if you lost 25 pounds overnight. Everybody would be going, you better go see a doctor. Something's wrong, man. Right? See, we want to blink our eyes and have the bellies go. Blink our eyes and be fit again. Well, you have to understand and recognize there's a process and a period of time involved. It's just like working out. If you want to build muscle, you can't lift weights one time in a month and think, boy, I'm doing well. I lifted one time this month. No, ask anybody. You got to do it consistently. Amen? Just like anything else, consistency. So looking will fuel desire. Whatever you look at is going to add impetus to desire to have whatever it is you're looking at. What are you looking at today? What are you desiring? What are you longing for above all else in your life? And then remember, desire will eventually lead to action. Okay? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Do you all remember that? 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1, goes on and says, desire spiritual gifts, or the pneumatikon, desire the things of the Spirit. Literally in Greek it reads, desire the spirituals. Desire the things of the Spirit. See, my heart's desire for you here in this church is that not only you learn the Word of God, but that you learn how to practically apply the Word. It's not going to do you any good if you just have a bunch of scriptures memorized. And yet you can't get victory over this, you can't get victory over that. What is it? It turns into nothing more than a show to go to church. And that's what we have out there. In a lot of places, people go to church, you know, oh, yes, amen, and then they live like the devil all week. And never get victory over anything, never see any changes, never see any progress being made. That gets old, and it will not sustain you in your walk with the Lord. You know, some folks just want fire insurance. I just want to make sure I don't go to hell one day. Well, do you want to live with the blessings of God active in your life now? Then there's some things that you're going to have to cultivate in you on a daily basis. You need to get into the Word every day of your life. Can I hear amen? Amen. Amen. Lord had me write this down. More light and revelation will come this year than in previous years. Your path will have every opportunity this year to be brightly illuminated. We just read that in Proverbs 4, verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more. In other words, it increases unto the perfect day, or the day when you are beginning to mature. What's happening is that chrysalis is beginning to, a butterfly is forming. And you're no longer crawling on your belly in life. You're beginning to soar with the eagles. Amen. You don't want to run with the prairie chickens or crawl on your belly like a reptile. You want to soar with the eagles, amen? And that's what's available to the people that will actually apply this thing and get into it on a consistent basis. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. And you're not necessarily going to gain victory like that. I know everybody wants that, wants things to happen real quick because we're used to pushing a button and having, you know, our hot dog ready in 30 seconds. Anybody still do that? Don't raise your hand. Sorry, Tom. I remember when I was single, it's been a few years ago, yeah. But I'd put a hot dog in there, and I didn't know. I just punch a button, and one day I'm sitting there waiting on it. Boom, the thing blew up. You know, I had hot dog all over the... Ooh, I guess you don't do it that long, you know. See, and that's why you don't want me doing anything like that in the house. You know? I'm okay. I can do it. Thy word, Psalm 119, verse 105, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, remember, the Lord's not going to force you to get into the word. So, I'm thinking about this last night as I'm writing this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, just make a note of it. The Bible talks about having tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. You remember that? And it talks about if a person has done that and then chooses to reject, there's no renewing that person. It's making reference to willful sin or the sin unto death. Have y'all ever thought about the sin unto death? I don't want to think about that. Well, that's probably a good thing you don't want to think about. But the sin unto death, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, in Hebrew thought, actually, that's called willful sin. Willful sin. And it happened to a few different individuals in the Old Testament. And one of the things that you know that goes with blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or willful sin is death. Death follows right away. Okay? And there are instances in the Old Testament that happened. In the New Testament, it happened with Ananias and Sapphira. You remember that. Now, it was a state of the heart. It's not because you got mad at God because that situation didn't change quick enough for you. That's not what it's talking about. That's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's not good to be disrespectful to the Lord. Obviously, but I asked the Lord about it one day, and I said, "And what about this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit thing? How does that occur?" Well, he pointed me to Hebrews chapter 6, but all those things are listed. There are very Jewish things, and then he says, if a person turns away, it's impossible to renew them again. You remember that? And then in Matthew 12, the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is brought out. Jesus brings it out. But here's the thing about that sin. If you committed it, and I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor Dan, I think I may have committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit." And so my first question to them is, "Do you want to be forgiven?" "Well, yes, absolutely." I said, "You can count on it. You didn't commit it." Because a person that goes there, it's a heart condition, and it's not our judgment as to whether or not, did that person who died over there commit that? It's none of our business. But when blasphemy of the Holy Spirit occurs, or this willful sin, this sin unto death, it's called the sin unto death for a reason. Because death normally follows quickly. But it's a heart condition. And if a person has done that, they don't want to repent. I asked the Lord, I said, why is that the unforgivable sin? The sin that cannot be forgiven. Because Jesus even said that. He said, because the person, once they commit it, will not ask for forgiveness. Now, it sounds simple, but it's the truth. Their heart turns from God. The only ones that can commit it are those that have tasted of the deep things of the Word of God and of the powers of the world to come. So don't sit around and think, "Well, you know, I might be able to commit that sin." No, you're not going there. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on, just keep searching and seeking after the Lord and live for Him, and don't worry about that kind of stuff. If you have a genuine heart desire to serve God and you slip up in sin, and it's just right away, don't play with it. Say, "Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me. I repent. I turn from it. I turn and go the other way." Too many times people want to play with sin. You know, and see how close they get. Remember, I talked about it last week. How close you can get to the fire without getting burned? I guarantee you, if this pulpit right here were 1,500, 2,000 degrees, and I just barely touched it, it still would burn, would it not? Oh, yeah. Well, amen. Amen. Years ago, when I was teaching tennis at the club in Wisconsin, one of the people that was a member of the club owned a big factory. I mean, it's huge. It was a big factory in Milwaukee. And he said, "Hey, over the wintertime, would you come work for us?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, you want me to teach tennis at the factory?" He said, "No." I'm like, "Okay, all right, whatever." So I ran a furnace. This was right shortly before we moved down here, came down to Oklahoma. But I ran what's called an annealing furnace. And what they would do is heat up the parts. We were making grenade parts. Never got to have a grenade. I wish I had, you know, but never got one. Just had the little part from the grenade. Anyway, we ran these through this blue flame, and it would heat the parts up to somewhere around 1,800 degrees. somewhere in that zone, 1,500, 1,800. And they'd go through that, and then they'd go down a belt into water, and they'd heat them up and cool them down real fast. And that's called, the process is annealing. You can look it up. And it strengthens the metal when you heat it up and cool it down. It's a process. Well, one day I was using a prod, and I had it up there in the flame, and I was just separating some parts that had kind of gotten bunched up on the belt. And I had a pair of asbestos gloves on. And what I forgot is the glove had a hole in it right there. And I had that, I was big man, you know, I'm running this whole operation. I'm like, yeah, I got this. This furnace was huge, you know. And I got it down, and the boss had just come by and said, man, you're doing a great job with this thing. And I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. So I got a little cocky is what happened. So I'm poking that, and I walk down, and I go like this, you know. And I had this prod in my hand. I let it slide down to grab the end. I'm going to walk off. I grabbed that 1,800-degree end with the bare finger. Yow! That thing went flying. And I ran over and stuck my hand into the cold water tank. I mean, we're talking about burn. So there, you got your little story from me for today, but that was a painful thing. I have touched some hot stuff before, but whoa, that was nuts. I was kneeling, yeah, a kneeling. He was a kneeling is what he was doing. I was a squealing is what I was doing. So if you've tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world or the powers of the world to come, you need to understand this. In your walk with Christ, as we're heading into a new year, we're talking about the light shining brighter on our pathway. We're talking about getting into the word more. We're talking about becoming more diligent, more committed, and more dedicated. Well, I'll tell you this much right now. The Holy Spirit wants to give you and me previews of things to come. Do you realize that? He wants to show you some things that lie ahead. A lot of people have questions. It's like, well, what's going to happen in the country? What's going to happen? You know, and the Holy Spirit will give you insight. Just turn over to John chapter 16 quickly. I want to show you this because you need to know this verse. John chapter 16, and it's verse number 13. I know you have heard this and read it before. Jesus said it this way. He said, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would show you things to come. That's good news. You can tap into the powers of the world to come. He will give you insight into what's going on over there in that situation at your job, or maybe in your business, or maybe in your home, or maybe over here at this situation, or maybe regarding the government. I don't know. He'll give you insight. He'll show you things to come. Now, I would suggest that you start hungering and thirsting for that in your life. Desire the things, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Desire the things of the Spirit. It's time for us to become a more spiritual people. Now, people that don't get into the Word can't help but be carnal. You can't help but be carnally minded if you never get into the Word. The only cure for carnal mindedness is this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5 tells us that, in fact, verses 5 through 8 speak of the carnal mind as enmity against God. And if you're carnally minded, it's going to bring death into your house. You know what it literally means? Be carnally minded. How many of y'all have ever had chili con carne? All right, Tom, we're together. Here we are. I got two. What is chili con carne? It's chili with meat. Oh, yeah. So you know that Archie Bunker was right when he called Mike a meathead. Mike was very carnally minded. To be carnally minded is to be after the things of the flesh or after meat. Do we have any meatheads in here today? Don't admit it. You need to keep putting the word in. Get that meat renewed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be a meathead. I don't want to be a carnally minded man who can't think on the word of God and everything is natural and naturally tilted. I want to hear from the Lord. I want my mind renewed with God's thoughts. If I think his thoughts, if I put him first, everything else will come to me. Everything else. The key to getting your life on track in regards to your mind, you need to pump that word into your thoughts. So you start to think like it. Think like the word of God with those principles. Now, another aspect of this in pressing into the things of the Spirit, we need to build ourselves up. Write this verse down, Jude verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't think praying in tongues is necessary. Well, praying in tongues is not necessary to go to heaven. No, it is not. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord is what will get you saved. But praying in the Spirit, the scripture speaks of you building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit does not give you faith. How does faith come? Sharon, you're back. You can tell me. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. So when you hear the word of God and faith comes, now you need to be built up on that or within that, and you pray in the Spirit. What that does is literally the Greek word for build, I believe it's the word oikadameo, and it means to construct a house, to build up a house from the ground up. And that's what's going on as we pray. God is constructing our life. He's building our life up. Too many people have houses with no windows. It gets cold, doesn't it? If you don't have a door, what if we decide just not to put a new door on, we just take the door off? Cool is right. Done right. Cold is right. But, yeah, or hot. You come in, and this place would look different after about 24 hours if the doors were off it. Yeah, critters. Yeah, critters are right. That would carry stuff away. Why do you suppose we have a good alarm system? Yeah. No, you need to have all the access points for evil shut in your life. Stop opening the doors to greed. Stop opening the doors to lust. Stop opening the doors to irritation. Stop it. How do you do it? You can shut the doors to these gateways to the enemy. One very effective way to couple with prayer in the Spirit is fasting. Fasting in your life. That will also help take care of the belly. Amen? Yeah, amen. That's right. Let's look at this. In Ephesians chapter 1, so go over there quickly. I said to you before that what you look at fuels desire. What you look at will fuel desire. How many of y'all know if you look at the word, you're going to have a greater desire to be a doer of the word? How do you ever turn the corner where you stop being carnal minded and you start being spiritually minded? You stay after it. But here's a key. Look at the prayer that Paul prayed in verse 18 of chapter 1. He's praying this for the people at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And look what he says. I guess back up to 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants us to have an understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The part I want to point out to you, though, is this: eyes of your understanding in verse 18, being enlightened. What are you looking at? Well, you know, Pastor Dan, I'm just starting to see some things in the word. I'm telling you, the revelation and the light that's going to come that will illuminate your pathway of life this year. Everybody in here will have opportunity to grow in the things of the word. Everybody in here will have opportunity to have the light increase. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everybody's going to have that opportunity But God will not force it on you. But he wants the eyes of your understanding enlightened. Enlightened. Full of light. He wants that. It's your choice. Well, I know how to read the word, but I'll do it tomorrow. Spend some time in the word every day. We make it pretty easy. You can go on your phone, and I mean, you can pull up the services from the church. There's no charge for any of that. Some ministries want you, you know, they'll give you a little teaser, and then you gotta buy it. We're not doing that. It's just all free. It's just there. It's there to help you and to help you to grow. And you can listen to that while you're shaving. We're not the only ministry in the world, of course. So you can get the word. I do this. In fact, Ann has started doing it, playing just the Bible being read to you. I love that. Sometimes just hearing it, sometimes reading it, you're going, man, what is this saying? I mean, now you're sitting in the room and you're just like this, and it's reading to you, and you're starting to hear things, you're starting to picture things as you're hearing the story. That can be a very, very good and effective way for you to get through the Bible and hear it all. I've read this from Genesis to Revelation and from, frankly, Revelation to Genesis. How many times I've done it? And I'm reading it again. I'm in it now. But the fact is, it's a lifelong journey. And we're barely scratching the surface with revelation of the Lord. So what are you looking at? Your eyes need to be illuminated. You need to see what is the hope of his calling or the expectation of what he's calling you to do in life. Every one of us are called to be ambassadors to share the gospel in some way. Pray for people. Love people. Be kind to them. When opportunity arises, share what's happened in your life. You don't have to be a preacher to be able to be someone who's an ambassador. You don't have to be able to expound on the word. You just need to be able to tell people what happened to you. And yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I know I'm a different person. And here's what happened. You want to know more? Go ask that guy in the gray jacket over there. He'll tell you. I'm serious. You just need to be in that place where that's what you're going after in your life. So, again, the question, what are you looking at? James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 speaks about the process and how it works. And I'm going to close in just a moment. Yeah, I'm going to get you out of here early today. How do you like that? Sure as I say that, the Lord will say, nope, keep them. No, I'm teasing. But in James chapter 1, this is that portion of Scripture that describes how temptation happens. Look at verse 13. Let no man say, this is James 1, verse 13. Now, I don't want to ever hear, well, I mean, if I could control your tongue, you'd all talk just like me. Like we want that, right? No, of course, you have control over your tongue. But look what the Bible says. Verse 13, James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. What I was going to say is don't tell me God's tempting you with this. Let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he. How many men? Any man. He doesn't tempt people. But look at verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's from looking at something, right? That's from looking over and over at something and consistently putting it before you. This is how the negative process works when sin. So it goes, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, does what? It brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That's that process. You know, how many of y'all fish? Anybody in here go fishing? Come on, you fish? Okay, so when you go fishing, you put a bait on. If you're using plastic, like worms, you know, artificial worms, or you're using, you know, maybe you're using a jig, maybe you're using live bait, whatever it is, if you're using artificial bait, you are trying to mimic something that is alive. I mean, it's a plastic worm. It's not a live worm. So you've got to do something with it to make it resemble okay? I would fish with these super flukes, and you run the hook through the nose and then back up through the belly, and it hides it in the belly, so it makes it weedless. And they're about this long, and they're rubber, and then you dip the tail in a little garlic sauce that drives them nuts and makes them come to your hook. But anyway, then when you're fishing this thing, you cast it out there, and you cast it out, and you put a weight about a foot above the hook, and that weight, you throw it out there, and this looks like a little fish, and then it falls, and just as it does, you tip the tip of the rod down, and you reel in as you're pulling it up. And so the thing does this, and it'll do this, and it looks like it's swimming. You do it slowly. I mean, there were days over there at one of your ponds, Glenn. I mean, between Bob Hannes and I, we caught like, I don't know, 70 fish, bass. I mean, kept catching the same one over and over. I know. No, but, I mean, I just catch them and throw them back. If I want to eat fish, I go to a restaurant. I don't, anyway, that's me, okay? But you mimic. You mimic the fish. You tease it. You're trying to catch it. What do you think the devil does? He's a fisherman. We are to be fishers of men. Right? We need to have good bait. Where our speech needs to, what does the Bible say? Always be seasoned with what? Salt. Make people thirsty for the things of God. Is your life making people thirsty for Jesus? See, the devil throws his bait out there. Remember when we did this? We put a cigarette on the end of a fishing line and then dangle it in front of somebody. Wouldn't you love a cigarette, old man? No. So Johnny and I walked to the back of the property years ago. That's when Budweiser was next door. That's before Jim and Jerry, the business, moved in. So we went back there and we found some cans of Budweiser. I mean, they were empty, you know. And no, we didn't empty them. But anyway, ran a hook through and dangled a beer in front of somebody in the church. I did this for an illustrated. Wouldn't you like a beer? You know. Put a magazine on the end of one. And that the devil is a fisherman and he puts bait before you. And if people look at, if you get that out of here in the name of Jesus, you sit there and look at it a little while. Start licking your lips because you're suddenly thirsty for a beer. You get in trouble doing that. This is the process. Don't say when temptation comes, God's doing it. He's not the one doing it. Recognize who is the tempter. Amen? All right, so I want to bring out Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and then we're going to look at a story and close. Philippians 3, this is the verse you need to know. Again, we are called to push forward, press forward, amen? That's the title of the message, press forward. But Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13, it says this. I love this. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to, in 2021, be pushing forward, press forward in the things of God. Step up to a higher level. Make your commitment before the Lord and decide I'm going to keep that commitment and serve him in a greater way. Things are going to be different in my own personal life. They never change if you don't set out to change them. Somebody said, well, now, wait a minute. Isn't it God that has to change it? He's waiting on you to do something. He already stated what he's wanting you to do. And you're sitting around, well, I thought if God wanted me to read the word, he'd dangle it in front of me. No. You're supposed to choose life. You have before you life and death, blessing and cursing. In other words, good and bad. Choose the good. Choose the life. Choose the blessing. Sure. But look at this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for press is an interesting word. It means to pursue. It's dioko. But it means to pursue or to press forward, to run after. And it can be with hostility or it can be without hostility. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to chase the devil down anytime he tries to show up on my front doorstep. What do you mean, Pastor Dan? The devil comes to your house? Hey, the devil tries to come to every one of our homes. He tries to enter into your thoughts. He tries to mess with your marriage. He tries to mess with you. He tries to mess with your money. He tries to mess with your kids. Crying out loud, he'll try to mess with all sorts of stuff in your life. If he can get at you in one fashion or another, if that gate is open, he's going to fly through it. So it means when I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, it's going to involve kicking in some gates of the enemy where he's trying to keep strongholds in my life. Amen? I may be pressing forward not toward the Lord Jesus with hostility, but I'm pursuing a deeper walk with God and somebody's in my way. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus. I'm pressing forward. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. 2021 is going to be a good year for all of us. You need to believe that. Now, I want to close with 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, it's an interesting story. This is a story that I've been thinking on for the last week probably. This is that story of the four lepers. You remember that? In Samaria, look at verse 1. Elisha has a prophetic word for the people there. It says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Verse 2 says, then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, in other words, this was a sarcastic remark, by the way, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it. Elisha tells him, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat of it. Okay, so there's four lepers there in the city. This, you have to understand the background. There's a severe famine going on. Man, they're eating all the horses. All the horses have been eaten. They even boiled their kids. You remember that? They boiled their children. One lady is complaining about it. It was so bad. I mean, the one lady said, let's eat your child today, and then a few days we'll eat my child. And seriously. And so they ate this woman's child. This is horrific. You say, that's in the Bible? Well, you just go back and read through this. You'll find it. It's right there. And then it came time to boil and eat her child. And she didn't want to do it. You remember, this was a horrible, horrible situation that they were going through. And Elisha stands up and says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to have the fine flour, and it'll sell for so much. You see that? This guy laughs about it. This guy was a tribunal. He was right next to the king in authority and power, and he laughs about it. So then these four lepers are there in the city, and they're thinking, okay, we're lepers. If we stay here, we're going to die. We can't eat. We're lepers. If we try to, you know, a function here, it's terrible. If we go to the camp of the Syrians, because the Syrians had laid siege on Samaria, and we're pretty much waiting for the people of Israel to starve out, and it was happening. And these guys are deciding, these four lepers, they decide they're going to march toward the camp of the Syrians. If they don't receive us and they kill us, we're going to die over there anyway. Let's just go. So they step out, and they begin, these four little lepers. I don't know that they were little, maybe they weren't. But anyway, they were four lepers. They're moving, and as they go, the Lord did a miracle on their behalf on the ears of the Syrian army, and the Syrians hear this. It sounds like a great army approaching. It's four little shuffling lepers. Can't you see it? You remember that Tim Conway thing? I'm running! You guys are... I don't remember Tim Conway. Well, anyway, whatever. Carol Burnett. So they're moving toward the camp And the Syrians, they panic, and they go, let's get out of here. And they leave everything in the camp. There's clothing strewn in the way as they were getting out to leave. All the horses are there tied up. There's jewels, there's gold, there's all sorts of food, there's all sorts of stuff. And these four lepers go in there, and they're like, where's everybody? And then they start looking, and here's this, all these jewels and all this stuff. And, oh, we better go back and tell the king, because if we don't, we're going to get in trouble. So they go back and tell him, and the king is a little skeptical about it. And he's like, yeah, sure, they went outside the city, and it's a trap. They're waiting for us to come in, and when we come in, then they'll come down on us and take us captive and destroy us. So they sent in some spies of sorts, and they go in, and they find, well, there's nobody around. And anyway, long story short, the next day, they have fine flour. And you know what happened to that guy that laughed about it? He was trampled. He was, can you imagine? I mean, he's this authority, and he's laughing at the man of God. That can't happen. That couldn't turn around. It looks impossible. Doesn't it sound like something we're hearing right now? It looks impossible. There's no way. When God gets involved, something can happen that quick. And it was the simple obedience of those four little lepers who had some resolve. They made a decision. They said, you know what? We're going. We're going to throw caution to the wind, and we're going to step out. And that little action of advancing toward the enemy, they knew who these people were. They were going toward the enemy, but they didn't care. They decided, we're going to go. Either we're going to die here, we're going to die there. Let's step out. And God honored that. Now, this last week, I heard a message by David Barton. David preached for Kenneth Copeland's Eagle Mountain Church down there, Georgian. Terry Pearson down in Fort Worth, Eagle Mountain Church. And he brought up a point that when you hear the roar, you need to advance toward the roar. And you say, what does that mean, Pastor Dan? Go ahead, stand to your feet. We're going to close here. He was saying when lions hunt, the male is the one that does the roaring. You know, have you ever heard a lion roar? You're in the zoo. I don't care where you're at in the zoo. If that lion decides to roar, you're going to hear it. Amen? And it is. It's powerful. It's loud. It's frightening. Not so much. It'll startle you, but not so much. You know it's in its confinement. But if you were out in the wild and you hear a roar, it's coming from over there. I'm going this way, right? But do you know how lions hunt? The male will get on one end and roar, and the female, see, the male's big. He's got a big mouth and all that. I know. He does a lot of roaring, sure. Yeah. But you know who the hunter is? Who's the hunter? It's the female. You know those females are hunters. You know that, yeah. Now watch it, man. Anyway, so the female's over here. She's faster than he is. She's a better hunter than he is. He's got all the intimidation. He rules the roost. There's another one for you to think on, honey. So anyway, you got the male over here roaring, and you got the female over here. What they do is they work in conjunction. The male roars because it's so frightening. It'll scare the prey this way. Where does it scare the prey? To the female. And guess what happens? So it's counterintuitive, but you think the roar, you need to go toward the roar. That's what he was saying. And I was thinking about that. You know, all this stuff that's coming out and all this, how the voices of people in the world are talking about what they're going to do in this country and how the Christian, we're going to get your guns. You know, I think, you know, to me, that's got to be the dumbest thing anybody would ever try to do is take all the guns away from all the people that have them. I mean, are you kidding me? Serious? And the police are on the side of the Second Amendment, folk. Come on. But anyway, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You're going to eat it. We're just going to... You know what? You confront that in the spirit. I didn't say go out and start a riot. Do you know they arrested a guy that was in that riot and they have him on tape? saying some things, screaming some expletives, and he's totally Antifa. They arrested him in Utah yesterday, 2 days ago. Oh, Antifa was not involved. Pastor Dan, you're going down the political route again. Yeah, well, it's been on my mind. Well, wherever the roar is at, go toward the roar. Don't cower in fear to all the naysayers and the gainsayers, those that are saying this and saying that. Now confront it in the name of Jesus. My God's bigger than any of this garbage. My God has not turned his back on me, nor this nation. What I know is that the Lord who lives in me is greater than the devil that lives in some of these other folk that are out there proclaiming the things they're proclaiming. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, you need to. That's 1 John 4, verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, honey. Let me have those. Appreciate it.